Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 12 and about verse 13. We've called this Wednesday night meeting back together too to let you guys know that I'm officially retiring from sports at Flat Top Independent Church. I'm sad and broken about it, but we're retiring. All right, y'all ready? Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Man, I'm so glad this is in here. Y'all, I put something out on social media. Did anybody see it that challenged you? This is going to be a challenging message, and this might not be the night you want to show up at church. Okay, so if you don't have social media, this is your few minutes to... You can get out if you want to get out. I don't think that's a smart thing to do for a pastor, is it? Ask people to leave. But I'm trying to give you fair warning. There's going to be some challenging stuff in this message. And it's going to challenge us as Christians. Amen? That's what we want. We want to be challenged as Christians. But also tonight, I want you to hear the Word of God to understand that the Word of God, it'll cut you sometimes. But when it cuts you or it hurts you, it's there to make you better. Amen? And listen, I preach something for the Christian, I always like to preface it or like to go before it and say, if you're not born again and this doesn't apply to you, salvation is a free gift. You can receive it. When God deals with your heart, you can receive it anytime you want to receive it. All you got to do is come and ask for it. And everything we'll preach tonight will apply to you. Amen? Y'all ready to get in the Word of God? Man, I hope so. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak unto my brother that he defied the inheritance with me. There's always one in the crowd. Man, I am so glad that this scripture's in here, because sometimes if Jesus had to deal with some of the stuff that we have to deal with as Christians, as ministers, as teachers of the Word of God, somebody stood up. Now listen, I want you to hear this. This is God in the flesh. God. He's in the midst of them. He's God right there. And he had Jesus, will you tell my brother to split the inheritance right? Can you say dysfunctional? Can you say, man, don't you think that could have been asked somewhere else? But he asked it right there to Jesus. And man, I was sitting there thinking, how would I answer it as a pastor? It's a whole lot different than Jesus answered it. So, but now I'm changing, because if Jesus answered it that way, be careful. Be careful if you come to Jesus with something. Be careful if he doesn't expose you. Be careful that if he doesn't expose what's going on a deeper level, amen? Can I say this, that if Jesus was to get into your home, if Jesus was to get into your life, that this situation might not be taking place? Let me say it this way. If this man had loved Jesus and been born again and loved his family as he loved himself, maybe he would have let his brother get away with taking more of the inheritance. Now I know I told you should have got out. You should have got out on this message, because right here he could have been wronged and still be right. You can be wronged and still be right. He could have said, you know what? My brother's going to get the bigger part of the inheritance. He might take it all. He might leave me with nothing. But if I had done this right, if I had lived for God right, then that would have been all right with me, because the relationship I had with my mother or my father, whoever it was that passed away, would have been sufficient for me going forward, not the inheritance. Whew. It's awful quiet. If mother and father had handed down a better relationship with God, maybe the siblings would have shared with others correctly. Maybe if mom and dad had loved God so clearly and loved each other the way they should have, they would have said, son, when we pass away, this belongs to you and this belongs to your brother. Amen? When we pass away, hopefully we're passing down something that will give you peace and happiness and joy, not squabbling over what's left of mom and dad. Man, oh, I'm telling you right now, this is some medicine in here. I mean, this is some stuff right here, because guess what? This happens more times in communities than we want to care to talk about. We start wrestling over the things that mom and dad had or grandmother had instead of enjoying the relationship or the time that we actually had with her or with him. Man, is this deep? Is this cut? When I read it, I was like, man, this is good stuff. Be careful. Be careful before you charge the throne of grace looking for God to be on your side. Because all of a sudden God can expose you. He can show you where you're not right. He can show you where you've messed up. Amen? Were you, have you ever done that? God, you better fix them. And God says, first, I want to do a little working on you. Instead of fixing them, I'm going to fix you so then me and you can fix them. That's hard to get unto right there, isn't it? That's hard to get around, because some of you in here are saying amen, and some of y'all are wearing smiles, and some of you are shaking your head, and some of you on the inside are going, preacher, I hate you! I can't believe you dare come in here on a Wednesday night and preach this right here to me, because I got a real true situation that I'm right and I'm being wrong, and God better be on my side about it. Well, let me tell you something. I'm being honest with you. God is on the side of winning souls. God is on the side of changing people's lives. And if that takes you being wronged, you buckle up and sign up for being wrong. One verse down. Amen. The endeavor is trying to get to verse 22. And he said unto him, man, who made me judge or divider over you? That's red letter, ain't it? Jesus said that, Mark. Is that in there? That's awesome. Who made me the judge over you and your brother? You couldn't say that as a pastor. They'd run you out of town. Was that my business? I'm here trying to do the work of God. What are you talking about? Why are you and your brother fighting anyway? Why are you arguing? What is it about? Wasn't there any clear things happening before the person passed away? Why aren't you forgiving some stuff? Why aren't you letting some stuff go? Jesus is a whole lot cooler. He said, who made me judge over this? Did you talk to me prior to this problem? Write this down. You might want to talk to God prior to the problem. Amen? You might want to talk. We get God. I want you to get this. We get God involved on the back end of a problem instead of in the front end of anything. Amen? We want God to come in like a knight in shining armor, and sometimes He wants to. But let me tell you this. A lot of times God wants to be in every part of your life. Good. All right, not so good, and horrific. He wants to be in all of it. He don't want to just rescue you every time. He doesn't want to ride in like the shining knight every time. He would like for you to be able to go through something and you be, God, I trust you. I just trust you right here. I don't know what you're doing, but I'll just trust you. I'll just sit right here and trust you. I don't have to have it fixed. You don't have to do it my way. I'll just trust you. Man, that's good, ain't it? That's just rich right there. In verse 15, and he said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Did you hear what he just said? My goodness. He just flat out told him. He said, you know what? You're worried about the wrong thing. You know how he knew he was wrong thing? Because he's sitting there in the presence of Jesus. God became a man and dwelt among us. And he's wanting to talk about stuff that he didn't get. Well, can you see it right there? Can we really just, cipher that down and look at it? We're looking right at a situation where a man has the opportunity to talk to God about eternal things. about spiritual things, and he wants an endeavor with his brother. He flat just tells him. When he does ask him to get involved, when he does ask him to be the judge, you know what he says to him? He says, hey, I want to take a look at your heart. He said, you know what you are? You're preoccupied with the stuff or the possessions. He said, let it go. What if, can you write this down, or can you hold on to this as a nugget? What if God comes to you and says, just let them win. Just let them win. And forgive them and get over it. Man, could we do it? Yeah, now listen, I want to say, yeah, I do too. But right here, at that part, this is tough because maybe I'm not in that situation, but sometimes I don't handle situations that way, and I want to grind it out. Does anybody else want to grind it out? Come on, man. You know what? I don't deserve this. What we deserved is Calvary. What we deserved is death. What we deserved is hell. That's what we deserved. But Jesus pardoned us and forgave us of all of our trespasses. And yet, when we get hung up on a deal where we feel like we're not getting what we deserve, we go right to the throne of grace. Good, you better help me out. Just drop it. Let it go. Don't worry about this. Don't grind on this. Just let it go. Let them win. Let them think they're winning. Can I preach a little bit deeper right here? Can y'all handle just a little bit deeper? Go just a little deeper right here. Because sometimes people need to win and get everything they think they want. I'll say it again. Sometimes people need to win and think they get whatever they want. You know why? Because they'll get everything they want and find out God is more than that. And guess what? That still won't bring any happiness. There's some people in this room right now. Somebody hates on you because you got something that they thought that they should have. They think that's theirs. They might not have done the work for it, might not have done any of the time for it, maybe not went to work and saved or whatever had, but they believe, I should have that. But if they got it, they still wouldn't be happy. If they had it, they still wouldn't be happy because they'd find out there's no happiness in stuff. There's no happiness in getting everything that somebody else has. There's happiness in Christ Jesus. That way you can be happy with the stuff or without the stuff, whether it comes or whether it goes. Amen? Is that pretty cool? Is that helping somebody in here? Is that helping somebody in here? Because this is what we're coming to church for. We're not just coming to hear messages, see how good the message is. We should go out of here and say, hey, I want something that I can apply to my life. I can guarantee you this. We're going to run up in situations in our life, if we hadn't already, that we're going to end up feeling like we're on the losing end of the stick. And you know what? A lot of people are going to see how you deal with that and determine whether you know Christ or not. Determine whether they're going to accept Christ or not. They're going to watch how you treat somebody who's doing you wrong. Not just forgiven, but in the midst of when they're doing you wrong. How are you going to handle that? I said, don't worry about the stuff. This man was right in the middle of some litigation. Y'all good? He's right in the middle of a court case. Wonder if his brother was there. Tell this guy. Tell him. Y'all ready? Then all of a sudden, Jesus does something really cool. He sees that he's got 12 eyes, 12 sets of eyes looking back at him. Amen? He's got some disciples there, and they're watching him. You know what he said? This would be a perfect opportunity to teach a class. Amen? So that's what you got to look for. Listen, I've got 12 guys I'm training. Listen, I've got some people in this crowd that we're training. Look at me. You're training right here. We're going to use this man's experience. Look, it's better to learn from somebody else's bad experience than to learn from your own bad experience. Believe me or not, you're going to learn from plenty of your bad experiences. Some of y'all are sitting here in a ton of them. Amen? You could write a book. Amen? But I want you to know, you don't have to keep doing that. You don't have to keep doing it. So Jesus looks around and says, you know what? I could teach my disciples something here. I don't know if they'll get it. Some of you say, well, what about your kids? What about that ministry? What about your family? Listen, I'm not promising anybody that my kids are going to grow up and be great men and women of God. I'm not guaranteeing that. But what I do guarantee is I'm going to live this thing at home like I do everywhere else. And that way they can see Christ in my life. And if they can see it in my life and I can share with them what God's doing and what God has done and how God works, then praise God, they've got an opportunity to choose that. And I can sleep at night going, hey, I told them. Amen. I showed them. It's up to them. My greatest ministry starts at home. And if it don't start at home, it won't matter what I do with you guys. It won't matter. It won't matter what you do in this church if you're rotten somewhere else. Whew. Y'all ready? He sees this as an opportunity. And he said unto them, take heed and beware. Go down to verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Plentifully. Y'all don't like this, do you? Check this out. Guess what? Some just turned off right there and you went, I'm not rich. Well, let me turn you back on to you being rich, okay? Does everybody in here have resources or the ability to go and get $5 at this point in time? 20? 30? Okay, right, all right. So around $30? So I'm kind of looking at some people, a grimace on the 30. Okay, so we could go and get 20 bucks right now. That's what we're having. Listen, in any part of the world, we are wealthy. Okay? And I can tell you this, and I'm not being mean, I'm not down on anybody. But listen to this, if you're really hungry now, I could take you to about four different places and get you a meal. Three days, three times a day, every day of the week. Okay? So we're wealthy. Okay? And if we can do that. Okay? So we're compared, if we went to certain the other regions in the world, the majority of the world, and we say, well, we're eating, and we're clothed, and we're wealthy, they'd say, you're wealthy. Okay? So everybody in here, we're wealthy. Okay? We're one of the wealthiest nations in the world. We're some of the wealthiest people in the world. If you're living in, if you're going to leave here tonight and go to a home, you're wealthy. If you're going to go home tonight and you're not even going to take one thought about what you're going to eat when you get home, you're wealthy. Now listen, if somebody goes, well, I'm taking a thought. We just ain't got nothing. Let's put that in premise. Do we got anything? We don't have anything that we want sometimes. Have you ever heard your kids say that? Oh, we ain't got nothing here. And you're like, dude, we got too much here. But we don't want, all right? So we're rich in the fact that we're not even afraid. And we're not even afraid to say stuff like, we don't have anything good to eat. Can I throw something? I want to throw something in there just real quick if I can. When I grew up, I grew up on pinto beans, cornbread, and fried potatoes. And I thought we were rich. We were the poorest people in the whole neighborhood. We had pinto beans all the time because we were poor. I didn't know that. I thought, oh, these people are missing out. Cornbread and milk was like ice cream. I didn't know it, but it was. Some of y'all do buttermilk. Y'all are too rich for me, boy. Let's go a little bit further. And he spake, look, and the ground of the rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now this guy's already in danger, because he's got so much. And the first thought, listen, God doesn't mind you having stuff. He doesn't mind you having an abundance of stuff. But your first thought shouldn't be in, it should be out. He didn't think, well, wait a minute, I wonder if anybody else needs any of this food. I wonder if anybody else could use this crop. I wonder if I could find a way that I've maxed out my barns, that maybe I can start replenishing somebody else. And see, kind of, we're dismissing. We're coming attached from this. There's probably about one, maybe two people in here that's not coming attached from the story right here. But let me say this, because I know how y'all think, and I know how I think right now. I'm sitting there, I'm not a stinking farmer. I ain't got to worry about this. But I do have two freezers. I do. I have, matter of fact, I've got three refrigerators. One downstairs, one upstairs. That's two refrigerators, and one long freezer and two regular size freezers. And I hate to say this, and telling myself they're full. They're full. And we've contemplated, haven't we, over the years? We've contemplated recently that we're going to what? We need to get rid of some of that stuff. God, I hate preaching on myself. God, I feel like I'm the only one up here just exposing. Hey, here you look at there. Look how I am. And some of you sitting there, some of you got three freezers. And they're chock full too. You thought about it. But anyway, you hear me? But we've got cupboards, and we added cupboards. And we got space, and we added space. No, Kevin, get off of us. No, okay. Look, we got a building, but we got an outbuilding. We rented in that storage building. No, we rented a storage building, and then we got another building that's full of stuff that we don't want. Oh, now I'm finally getting somewhere now. Some of you finally getting connected, right? Your stuff. Instead of ever thinking about anybody else, they thought about their stuff. How can I accommodate more of my stuff? Not how can I help somebody else. And that's real. I thought he preached this in 2017. It happens to be that Jesus preached this over 2,000 years ago. And it's scary, ain't it? It's really scary and it's really challenging. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast made much goods laid up for me many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Listen to this. I want to tell you this. I want to give you this number. He said, six times. That's the number of man. He said, he was only concerned with himself and not God and nobody else. Matter of fact, he didn't even go before God and said, God, what do you want me to do with the increase? I make that mistake a lot, do you? I got an increase. What do I do with it? Do I make more room? God, what did you have me to do? Now, if God says it's all right for you to make room, make room. But if God says disperse, disperse. If God says help, help. And you know what? You might have to do some more adding on because you do what God wants you to do. Six times this man said, I'm always fearful when I hear somebody talking a lot and every word out of their mouth is I did this right. I did that right. I'm going here. I'm going there. I'm doing this. And you never say, God, or we, or whatever He would have us to do. Amen? You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of a man. His name's Satan. He once told God this. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set my throne above your throne. I am. And I'm going to reign above you. I am. And I'm going to look down on this. And God said, no, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to get you and I'm going to throw you in a pit. And you'll look up for me at the end of the time as I'm crushing you. That's what, when you're talking about I a lot, you're talking about the same language that Satan has. What he wants you to do is say, listen, write this. You might want to write this down and make a mental note right here. Their Satan worship is not exactly worshiping Satan. It's worshiping self. Satan worship is not worshiping Satan. If he can get you to make yourself an idol, if he can make you worship yourself or something about you, then that is Satan worship. Whew. You want to break down your biggest idol? Stop worrying about yourself and worry about other people. And guess what? You will never ask the question again, what does God want me to do? Because you'll never run out of words. But as soon as you get done with one, there'll be another one. And as soon as you get done with that one, there'll be another one. And you'll never run out of words. I hear that a lot as a minister. I get a lot of people running to me and say, preacher, how will I know what God wants me to do? I say, get busy with what you're passionate about. Get busy doing what you're passionate about right now, and you'll never run out of work the rest of your time. Passionate, whatever God's put on your heart to be passionate about, do it to the best of your ability, and you'll never run out of work. You'll never say, man, I wonder what God wants me to do. Just do it. Now listen, I know what's possible right there. You'll make an excuse. But I haven't got ready. I haven't got the time. I haven't got the resources. I don't know enough. Well, listen, if you're in that category, you're never going to do anything. Told you it's going to be challenging. Don't be mad at me. You stuck around. Verse 20, it changes. Listen to what he says. But God said unto him, thou fool. God, he's straightforward, ain't he? Why can't we be this straightforward? If we were this straightforward with people, good things would happen. But instead, we can't. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? Wow, what a monster question. You might want to write this one down in your heart. You know what he just asked him? If when you die tonight, where's stuff going? It really don't matter. It really don't matter. Does it? Man, you know what he said to my soul? I'm going to eat, I'm going to relax, I'm going to do good. When you're worried about yourself, guess what? When it's all over, it's all about you and it dies. But when it's all about other people, it lives and lives and lives and lives. It keeps on living. The people who gave away their self, gave away their substance, gave away everything, guess what? We're still talking about a man who died on the cross a long time ago and all he did was give himself away. That's all He did, was give Himself a ransom for us. That's all He did when He came. He was God, and He was God, and He could have had everything. He was God, and He could have had anything. He was God, and He did have everything, and He gave it all away for you. God bankrupted heaven for you. So there's a precept there. Give it away, and you always get it. Try to keep it, and you'll never have it. Trying to keep life, trying to keep wealth, trying to keep stuff. Listen, you're never going to keep it. Give it all away to God, and you won't never run out of it. You won't never run out of time. You won't never run out of life. You won't never run out of joy. You won't never run out of happiness. You won't never run out of peace. Because we're heading to a place that those things are happening forever and ever and ever and ever. Whew. Amen, preacher! Has put. We'd rather stay docile. Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. What does your bank account in heaven look like? That's what he just asked. What does your bank account in heaven look like? We're so concerned with what we have instead of what we have laid up in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt. Man, you can be the richest man in this world. Y'all know where we're going, right? There was a rich man. And there was a man named Lazarus. And he passed by him. He fared sumptuously every day. And this man laid outside his gate, begging for food, and the dogs licking his sores. And guess which one of them was rich in heaven and which one of them was rich on earth? Man, they happened to die on the same exact day. Man, God's got a great way of doing stuff, don't he? They died on the same day. And I guarantee there were people lined up all the way down the street at the rich man's death, at his burial, at his funeral. And guess what? The poor man that laid outside the gate, I don't know who was there, but there was one person there, an angel to escort him into the pearls of glory next to God. Amen. Hey, here you are. And the man lifts up his eyes in torment. We don't preach that anymore. We don't preach it enough. We don't preach it hard enough. He lifted up his eyes in torment. I mean, the very first day he was in hell, he was in torment. The very first day that he was in hell, he was begging for water. Not 4 days, not 10 days. Now listen, this man was begging for food, but he was alive on earth. And that lasted a short period of time. This man was one day into eternity, and you know what he's doing? Just come over here. Just come over here. Touch my tongue. With a drop of water, what would a drop of water do on your tongue? Nothing. That's all he. Oh man, can I stay here for a minute? He's the richest man. He was rich enough to fare sumptuously every single day, but in the first day of eternity, he's begging for necessity. Rather beg for necessity here than beg for necessity in eternity. I'd rather beg for necessity here than beg for necessity in eternity. Where are you rich at? Where's your account settled at? Man, there's this old gospel message. There's old gospel. So I went to a revival one time, and we went to this revival, and I was sitting in the front row, and they sung a song. An old account was settled long ago. I never heard that song. And I was sitting there going, oh my gosh, that is so awesome. God settled our account long ago. But we had to come in and say, I'll take the credit. I'll take the credit, that line of credit that's been laid down for me that God purchased. I'll take that account. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you. Let me read this again. Can y'all hear this? Who did he say it to? And he said unto his disciples, root word, discipline, the people that he loved, the people that he was trained to be the ministers, the people that he wanted to carry out the gospel, a lot of them who wrote the gospels, the ones who started the New Testament church, the ones who went out. You hear me? Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You hear it? He didn't say this to the group. He said this to the people that he loved. He's training people that he's going to know. He's going to send them out, and they're going to be great. He, don't worry about stuff. Don't worry about your stuff. Listen, I ain't going to tell you that God ain't ever going to give you a good job. I ain't going to tell you he ain't going to give you a good house. I'm going to just say this. I want to ask you this as a disciple. Listen, more thought about what God wants you to do with your stuff. Take more thought about what you want God wants to do with your life, because your life is more than gaining stuff. Your life is more than drawing a bunch of money or a bunch of stuff and building bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah, this is what it's about. It's about glorifying God with the time you have on this earth. This message is very challenging to me personally. Is it challenging to you? Would you dare come to this altar and say, God, we are a blessed people, but what would you have us to do with the blessing? As we all stand and they come get a song of invitation.